So Betsy, in the story, the shepherd, was willing to give up her lunch to protect the sheep, which I would say is a pretty reasonable trade when you want to do your job well and when you want to show how much you care for the sheep. But lay down your life? They don't teach that in shepherd school. Jesus, though, seems to suggest that shepherds are so invested in their sheep that they would, in fact, even lay down their lives for them. And we've heard that so often that that probably seems pretty convincing. But it shouldn't. After all, laying down one's life in the face of an encroaching wolf is bad for the shepherd and ultimately bad for the sheep. After all, if the shepherd dies, who's going to be left to protect them? It would just be open season on the flock. If a good shepherd has to choose, the calculation is made very quickly and very reasonably. She'll give up her sheep and save herself. In other words, what Jesus is telling us here in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John is totally over the top. Laying down your life where it isn't called for is excessive. It's too much. Earlier in John chapter 10, Jesus tells his listeners that he came in order that they may have life and have it abundantly. Like the image of the shepherd that lays down his life, that phrase is well known. In fact, I think it's the tagline for Lutheran Senior Life, which runs any number of nursing homes and visiting nurse services in our area. Abundant life through Lutheran Senior Life. Whoever created that tagline might be surprised to know that the word abundant in Greek there actually has a negative connotation. Unnecessarily big. Way too much. Like eating a whole basket of Easter candy in one sitting. That's what it is to lay down your life for sheep. Uncalled for. Excessive. So how does Jesus do it? The last verse of our reading is the clue. There Jesus says, "I lay down my life in order to take it up again." He can put everything on the line, going over the top in order to defend his sheep, because he is life itself. He is in sovereign control over life and death. He walks, as it were, in and out of the valley of the shadow of death as he pleases. This is what Easter is all about. This is what the gospel is all about. It is the inbreaking of an excessive, extravagant, superabundant amount of life. The presence among us of one who is life itself. A kind of life that changes all our former calculations and our measures. Can you imagine such an abundant life? A life beyond your imagining? This week, I've come to reckon with how absolutely unimaginable, in a way, that image is, or that reality is, especially now. What about a just life? Or a safe life? Or a free life for every child of God? Those things right now seem far less than abundant, and they seem even to be beyond our grasp. 14 months into a pandemic, it feels as though the horizon of excessive, extravagant, over-the-top abundance of life is just too much to imagine. All I'm hoping for right now is for life to be a little bit normal. Abundance of life seems to be beyond the reach of the imagination. But the gospel is not about what fits in the confines of our imagination. It is a gift that comes from Jesus, and it breaks in from outside of ourselves, comes to us by way of the one who's life itself, who lives in such deep and close relationship with his Father that he has access to grace that we cannot imagine. It comes from one who can lay down his life and yet take it up again. This past Easter weekend, our congregation celebrated the Easter Vigil service, at least for the first time in my tenure with you, out at Camp Lutherlin. And my family came, and my kids, as they were riding out with my husband, they asked him why they were going to an Easter service that happens at night, in the darkness. After all, isn't Easter morning all about flowers and brightness and color and trumpets? Isn't it joy that we can see and we can feel? But my husband, who I'd gotten to preach that night, as he told us in his sermon, said, actually, Easter in its reality happens in the dark. The raising of Jesus from death happened at night, in the coldness of a tomb, when there was no sun and no flowers and no color. That's where Easter begins. And that's where abundant life can begin for us, even when we do not imagine it. Poet Jan Richardson wrote a blessing on this topic, and it goes just like this. While she could not see, while she thought death held sway, while she grieved, while she wept, while it was still dark, resurrection began. You had not imagined that something so empty could fill you to overflowing, and now you carry the knowledge like an awful treasure, or like a child that curls itself within your heart. How the emptiness will bear forth to a new world you cannot fathom, but on whose edge you stand. So why do you linger? You've seen, and so you are already blessed. You've been seen, and so you are the blessing. There is no other word you need. There is simply to go and tell. Amen.